Okay, guys, make sure to like, comment, and subscribe. Now, fasten your seatbelts. Here we go. Okay, guys, I'm back for video number two. It is Friday, January the 10th, and it is 10:56 p.m. Eastern Time. All right, I just uploaded the first video, and this is going to be the second video, and we're going to jump right into it because we've got a lot to cover. Now, this is all on one topic. And we're going to be looking at a lot of stuff around this. This was found by somebody on Twitter, and I knew immediately that this was something because everybody pounced on this person, all of these shills, and started talking about a million reasons why this couldn't be reality. Well, in fact, it is reality. I've been looking at this now for 2 days. And what we're going to do is I'm just going to go through some of this stuff. There's so much, it can never be covered in one video, probably couldn't be covered in 20. But I want to give you an idea of what this is. And this is probably the most important person you've never heard of. And above the people that we've heard of, like the Rothschilds and so forth, she's higher than that. She's higher, apparently, than the Illuminati. So let's get into this because you're going to want to hear it. Trust me, you're going to want to hear it. Now, let's just start from the top. I've just put the links here so we can go through it together because I had this all laid out yesterday, and for some reason, my computer did something and the document disappeared, even though I have autosave on. So it was very, very strange what happened. So I've just put the links and we can go through this at our leisure, I would like to say, but we don't have that long. So I'm going to try and hurry as much as I can. Now, this is the first video, the first site that was discovered, and it's called Glamis Calling to the Far Corners of the World. Now, Glamis is a castle in Scotland. And let's just read this from the top. And now, the reason why this person on YouTube, and they go by the name Yig, Y-I-G, if you'd like to look them up, because I'm not taking credit for this. This person actually just ran across this. And what happened is when I started looking into it, it just opens up into a huge, huge deal. So they were saying that because this website is new, that this can't be. No, this group has been around for hundreds of years. First of all, I'd like to say that. And they had other websites before this one. So this is a new website, yes, but it does not, you know, people were saying, oh, this is brand new. It's just somebody playing a lark. No, it isn't. No, it isn't, because it all checks out. So let's just start here. This is the one that Yig on Twitter found. Glamis is calling. And it says, this site serves as the official external communication vehicle for the World Governing Council and the Wetton Upper Chamber. If you've been directed here for instruction, note that most messages are intentionally obscure. If you have difficulty understanding a particular message, you may reach out to Luxembourg Castle on Node 9 of the Forgotten Frequency. After authentication, you may receive additional instruction. In the upper chamber, we often say, debate is required, respectful dissent is allowed, and betrayal is death. Bear this in mind as you read the instructions written herein. By the time information is posted here, the debate is over and dissent has been noted. Best regards, Somerset Belanoff. Who in the world is Somerset Belanoff? We're going to find out. We sure are. Now, let's go back and we're going to go to this website. Who is Somerset Belanoff? And again, this is not a site that is very popular or often visited. Now, if we go to the welcome, we find out a bit about who this is. Who is the Council of Wetton? What is all of this? Well, these are all questions that I asked too, but I was There was something in me that said, okay, there's something to this. I got to keep digging. And I'm so glad I did. And I see that Yig on YouTube is also continuing to dig into this. And this is when we go to the welcome, under the welcome. And again, this website is called Who is Somerset Belanoff? Now, you can find this stuff yourself. I'm not, you know, this isn't some secret whatever. I'm leaving the links here for you, and I'll be uploading them to Patreon as well. But you can go out and find this for yourself. So, update. July 7th, 2018, back online after being removed by Belanoff's internet police a few weeks ago. Now, okay, the first website we looked at, Glamis Calling, that is their official website. This website has been set up to educate people as to who they are, what they stand for, and everything else. And the stories herein are pretty chilling. All right. So they're saying that they're back online after being removed by Belanoff's internet police a few weeks ago. Undoubtedly, they will take our site down again. So if we disappear again, don't despair. We'll be back. We always come back. Now, this is the only known photograph of Somerset Belanoff. She is a real person. She is related to the Queen. And she's also an heir of Rasputin. Do you remember who Rasputin was? The guy, boy, there's a lot of tales about him. And he had some wicked, wicked eyes on him that would mesmerize women. And you will see from the pictures that some of the people on this council have those same eyes. You will notice. Okay. So this says, our purpose. Our mission is to provide the public with as much information as possible related to Somerset Belanoff, Countess of Banbury and Arran. She is the third cousin of Queen Elizabeth II, and she is also the current head of the World Governing Council. Yes, it's a real thing, if you're asking. As well as the chief executive officer of the World Security Office. She sits unchallenged atop the Illuminati hierarchy as she rules with an iron fist. She has consistently demonstrated willingness to track down and destroy those hostile to her agenda. Her motto is, debate is required, respectful dissent is allowed, betrayal is a death sentence. Within the realm of world governance, there is no one who wields more power. We've done our best to provide a thorough treatment of our subject, and this sometimes requires us to present significant historical background details to help the reader better understand how the information or events fit into the broader context. Many years and much work have gone into gathering the information contained on these pages. For the serious researcher, you'll find this information essential to understanding the nature of the various organizations that make up what is commonly referred to as the elite. So, how do we get information about such a reclusive figure as Somerset Belanoff? With few exceptions, Miss Belanoff generally stopped giving interviews in 1979 when she was appointed by Queen Elizabeth to represent the United Kingdom on the World Governing Council. Prior to that time, she lived the life of a typical British socialite and was interviewed at least twice by the weekly music magazine Melody Maker. In this early period, she also contributed articles to the University of Warwick's Manifold, a magazine that focused on mathematics. In more recent years, she has granted only a handful of interview requests to periodicals that cater to some of her favorite interests. For example, in 1998, she gave a brief interview to Crastus, a magazine focused on local Scottish politics, and Gath, a Scottish Gaelic language magazine. In addition to English, German, Russian, Mandarin, and French, Miss Belanoff is also fluent in Scottish Gaelic. And Glamis Castle, by the way, is in Scotland, and that is where I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that I read that she lives. Hence, Glamis Calling. Reportedly, one of the most haunted, or the most haunted castle in Scotland, and one of the most in the world, apparently. Through diligent sleuthing, cajoling witnesses, and sometimes using the services of private investigators, we've managed to collect sufficient information to construct what we feel is a respectable, though admittedly incomplete, narrative. Primary sources of information include, but are not limited to, the following: speeches given by Ms. Belanoff herself, emails exchanged between Ms. Belanoff and subordinates, interviews with people who interacted with her on a regular basis, such as her former personal security chief, her current chief of staff, current members of her household staff, and several high-ranking officials within the House of Wetton. More on this later. Yes, the House of Wetton is a real thing as well. Candid commentary by members of the Windsor family, including Prince Charles and the late Princess Diana. Discussions with private citizens who have had minimal but verifiable interaction with Ms. Belanoff. The category includes conversation with former U.S. President Jimmy Carter's personal secretary, Tessa Lynn Gordy, who spent time with our subject first at Camp David and later at Bohemian Grove. Yes, this person visits Camp David, which in itself is a little alarming, and Bohemian Grove, and has insight over that, or oversight over that as well. And very, very interesting stuff. She does not announce her coming, but she is welcome at the palace, at the White House, at anywhere that she shows up. She is welcomed without an invitation and without announcing her arrival. So this is a very, very interesting person. There is too much information here to just discard it. So the people, there are probably shills, but they just could be lazy people that are not willing to look into it themselves, and they would just rather say, nah, it's garbage. It isn't. I've been doing research on a variety of topics, and of course I've got two undergrad degrees and a master's degree, so you can imagine the amount of research I've had to do in my life. And I'm saying there's no way, there is no way that this is made up. Don't believe it. So anyway, and we're probably going to get those comments on this video, and please ignore them. Don't feed the trolls. Please don't feed the trolls. Just ignore it. I will come along behind them and delete them. So anyway, information resulting from work performed by professional investigators hired by our team on two occasions. Our investigators were able to establish direct first-person contact with Ms. Belanoff, if only for a few moments. Comments made by Ms. Belanoff to journalists and people who were part of the London music and art scene during the mid-1960s through 1979. Conclusion. Though these and other sources, Somerset Belanoff emerges as a complex and often contradictory character, at times kind and compassionate, often whimsical, but always dangerous. She emerges as a powerful and generous friend to those close to her, and a ruthless enemy capable of instilling cold, abject terror into those who stand against her. Now, what or who are the Shadow Watchers, and why are we doing this? We are professional researchers, attorneys, teachers, Interpol investigators, journalists, security specialists, and professional historians scattered throughout the globe who share an interest in Ms. Belanoff and her influence in the space generally referred to as the elite or Illuminati. Now, are you really telling me, like, these people that just like to dismiss this without even looking at it? These are a group of people that are highly specialized. Interpol investigators, they're top notch. You know, journalists, security specialists. These are people that have been looking into this. So, and it says, we seek to provide a better understanding of the focus that shapes our daily lives. Much of the so-called information online is intended to lure the viewer in for the sake of advertising, clickbait. Likewise, a lot of what is presented on social media seems to frighten, inflame, or advance the cause of hatred against one group or another, while offering only the same tired tropes that have been trotted out over the past 200 years. It is our hope that we can share a more accurate view of the forces working behind the scenes, and that to the end, we offer firsthand verifiable information rather than innuendo or fantasy. Belanoff researchers have often noted that information about her is elusive, and once posted, is often removed within a few days or weeks. This website will likely be taken down at some point in time, as previous versions were. However, rest assured, we also stole this information online as we are writing and posting from clandestine locations around the world. We will repost as often as possible when information is censored or removed. So there you go. That just is kind of giving a brief oversight into who this group of people are that are looking into it and who is behind this website, who is Somerset Belanoff. But the official website where they receive their instruction and so forth is here. It's called Glamis Calling. All right, just so you understand, let's look at some of these. Let's go through some of this website because you're going to be... Now, this is a quote by her. "I pull the strings and the elite dance. Somerset Belanoff, Countess of Banbury and Arran." This school photo, circa 1970, is the only known existing photograph of the Countess. And this is Rasputin. Gregory Rasputin, a.k.a. the Mad Monk, is Miss Belanoff's great-grandfather. Note the family resemblance through the eyes. Yes, you're going to see that a lot in her children as well, because I have tracked down her children. They are doing some very, very scary things. We're going to get into that. So, and if you don't know the history of Rasputin, I don't have time to, you know, really, really do everything that I want to do in this video, but look up Rasputin and who he was there'll be more understanding there. Okay, fast facts. Somerset Belanoff, Countess of Banbury and Arran, chairs the World Governing Council and is the chief executive officer of the World Security Office, which is the prosecutorial and enforcement arm of the House of Wettin's upper chamber. Now, the upper chamber refers to the Illuminati. There's the Illuminati, and then there's the upper chamber, and she is in the upper chamber and over that. So whether or not she is the actual head of the Illuminati, I would assume so after reading this, but I don't know. This is the powerful cabal which controls all of the elite Illuminati groups familiar to researchers. She is the registered owner of the Bohemian Grove domain name and is likely the owner of the actual property where Bohemian Grove is located. She attended Benedictine School, of which Princess Anne is also an alumnus. Vladimir Putin has said that the Countess of Banbury and Arran is both the most beautiful woman and the most terrifying person he had ever met. She rules the House of Wettin's upper chamber with an iron fist and is likely responsible for the execution of dozens of Illuminati. See the section Purge of the Princes on the There Will Be Blood tab. The most recent executions are those of three elite international bankers murdered in California in May 2018. Through statements and actions over the years, Belanoff has made it very clear that she considers groups such as the Bilderbergers, Council on Foreign Relations, Trilateral Commission, etc., to hold a lower position in the cabal than those born into nobility. She refers to these lesser Illuminati members as grubby downstairs staff, inferior in rank, intellect, common sense, and breeding. Has suggested that these newly moneyed lesser Illuminati should be accustomed to living in mud huts with dirt floors as befitting their actual rank, has been closely associated with the occult from a very early age. Boy, has she ever. Claims to have met the devil at Glamis Castle when she was a child and frankly was not impressed. Is the great-granddaughter of Gregory Rasputin and the great-great-granddaughter of Queen Victoria. Travels regularly to the Kremlin, the White House, and of course, Buckingham Palace. She arrives unannounced and without an invitation, and she probably is the only person in the world who does this, uninvited yet completely welcome in all of these locations. She was the driving force behind the rise of Mikhail Gorbachev in the Soviet Union and the ultimate fall of the Soviet Communist Party. Refers to international communism as a filthy cabal full of incompetent lazy dogs who should be thrown from the castle walls at our earliest convenience. She ordered Barack Obama to bring down the government of Muammar Gaddafi and told him to be sure that the dictator would be shot in the streets like a dog. Early life and childhood, Elizabeth Somerset Fyodorova, Bois Lyons Belanoff. Yeah, Bois Lyons. Where have we heard that before? Yeah, Prince Charles' wife is a British aristocrat born at Glamis Castle, Scotland, a well-known location to veteran Illuminati researchers. She shared a strong bond with the late Queen Mother and is a favorite cousin of Queen Elizabeth II. Within the hierarchy of British nobility, she holds the rank of Countess, having been granted that title by Queen Elizabeth II in 1979 when she was appointed to represent the UK in the House of Wettin's upper chamber. Her official title is Countess of Banbury and Arran. Note, for the sake of convenience, we will refer to her simply as Belenoff, the Countess, or Miss Belenoff throughout these pages. Owing to the persistent intermarriage among the European upper class over many generations, Belenoff is connected to the Dukes of Somerset in England, the Earls of Strathmore in Scotland, the Imperial House of Russia, and the historical House of Wettin, of which the House of Windsor is a cadet junior branch. She is the great-granddaughter of Gregory Rasputin and Princess Elizabeth of Hesse and by Rhine, who was the granddaughter of Queen Victoria. This means that Miss Belenoff is the great-great-granddaughter of Queen Victoria, as are Queen Elizabeth II and Prince Philip, the Queen's husband. Counting only her holdings from the surname mining and real estate assets she inherited from her industrialist father, Belenoff's personal fortune is estimated to be at least $14 billion. As a child, she was known to spook family members and guests with casual factual statements about long dead relatives who had died in Glamis Castle, often referring to them by nicknames used by them when they were alive. On one occasion, according to Princess Margaret, when Belenoff was 8 years old, she joined a grown-up card game and played extremely well, winning several hands. When the astonished adults asked how she learned to play so well, she replied that she'd been playing cards on a regular basis with Earl Bertie in a hidden room within the castle since she was 3 years old. Earl Bertie can beat the devil at cards, she announced, and sometimes I can beat the devil too. Earl Bertie is distant relative of the current royal family who lived in Glamis Castle and died there in 1486. The Countess of Banbury and Arran is the de facto head of an ancient dynasty that has ruled over much of Europe for more than 1,000 years. She has described her senior position atop the House of Wettin as an accident of birth, but historians point out that Ms. Belenoff was not born into the highest office of one of Europe's oldest dynasties. Somerset Belenoff was not the heir apparent under Salic law, which follows the principle of primogeniture, says Lord Alfred Saxe Coburg, himself a prominent policymaker in the upper echelon of European elites. That privileged spot goes to Michael, Prince of Saxe-Weimar, Eisenach, the most senior agnate and the titular head of the House of Wettin. Belenoff was not in line to inherit the prince's title, says Saxe Coburg, but the sheer number of aristocratic bloodlines in her pedigree, combined with her charisma and personal magnetism, placed her in a unique position to assume the practical leadership of our house, which is really Europe's most elite dynasty. The Countess herself has joked that she is the most illuminated of the Illuminati. From her seat of power, on the Isle of Arran, Belenoff delegates much of the business of running Wettin's real estate and banking interests to Prince Michael, and insiders say the two have a cooperative, even friendly relationship. Nevertheless, on certain operational matters and questions related to security and threat assessment, Miss Belenoff is unambiguous with regard to her authority. In an email to her nephew, Lord Francis Bowes Lyon, she wrote, "I alone speak for Wettin, which means by definition, I speak for her subsidiary branches, including Windsor, the Thurnigan States, and the Saxe-Wexner Isaac branch of the family." I don't know, but yeah, so she does have authority over the Windsors, the royal family. So she's way up there. Affectionately referred to as the Witch of Glamis Castle, Queen Elizabeth has forbidden the use of the term within her inner circle and has instructed that Miss Belenoff be addressed as Countess, Lady Glamis, or Lady Somerset. Somerset Belanoff is the great-granddaughter of Princess Elizabeth of Hesse and by Rhine, who was allegedly either seduced or sexually assaulted by Gregory Rasputin while both were frequent visitors to the Russian Tsar's court. The exact nature of the relationship between Princess Elizabeth and the mad monk is unclear, and the historical record appears to have been manipulated at various points over the last 100 years to obscure the truth. However, this much is known. Princess Elizabeth was the sister of another queen. Okay, I'm not going to get into all this because there's so much to go through here. And, you know, we've got an idea of who she is. Evidence. Now, this is very interesting. This is some of the evidence and documentation. And it's pretty interesting. In 2018, the bodies of three high-profile banking magnates were found in Ventura County. All were delegates attached to the Wet and Lower Chamber and were from wealthy banking families. The three were allegedly aligned with a so-called rogue faction within the lower chamber opposed to Miss Belanoff's agenda. According to sources in Luxembourg, the murdered men are suspected of attempting to sabotage Miss Belanoff's private jet. In early February 2018, Miss Belanoff was preparing to fly to her vacation home in Suriname, where she noticed what she described as an abnormality in the pitch of her plane's engines as it idled on the runway. She immediately instructed her pilot to shut down the jet's engines and ordered a complete checkup on her Gulfstream G650ER. A thorough review of her luxury jet's mechanical systems revealed that had the plane taken off that day, it would have likely exploded in midair. On February 22nd, detectives from the investigative and judicial branch of the World Security Office, working under the direction of Callum McCoynich, issued an internal warrant for the arrest of Mikhail Abramovic, these three men. On March 9th, the three men were apprehended at JFK Airport in New York and were fingerprinted, photographed, and booked into the Metropolitan Detention Facility in Brooklyn. 4 days later, on March 13th, 2018, officials at the detention facility announced that the three fugitives had been inadvertently released and their whereabouts unknown. On March 16th, Interpol issued red notices attached below to its 190-plus member countries requesting the arrest of the three men. The fugitives were on the run for several months before meeting a violent end near the western tunnel entrance of the Santa Susana Railway near the Los Angeles and Ventura County line. It is unlikely their would-be assassins were killed. It is likely the would-be assassins were killed on Miss Belanoff's orders. The evidence, according to official documentation from Ventura County Sheriff's Department, attached below, postcards depicting photos of Glamis Castle with references to Somerset Belanoff were found with the victim's clothing. The victims had been shot, stripped of their clothing, and left on railroad tracks where they were struck by a westbound Metrolink commuter train. Police reports indicate, in addition to being shot, Mr. Gravier was also hit in the head with a hatchet. Documents leaked by the Ventura Sheriff's Department were uploaded to the website 4chan and Scribd, presumably to provide proof to the Wet and Upper Chamber that the killings had been carried out. Click on the pale text below to go to the Scribd page, which references Project Abel Wolf. We're not going to do that right now because there's too much to get to. On February 7th, 2018, the following message appeared on the website Glamis is Calling. Abel Wolf has gone to ground. Summon Lord Chaos and release the Hounds of Havoc. So they release these things that are intentionally they're hidden messages, kind of like what Q does. I mean, once you know Q and how he communicates, you know what he's talking about, but it's a lot like what we see from Q, except this is definitely not Q. And then on May 5th, 2018, the following message was posted. Project Abel Wolf is concluded. On the 4th of May, the Hounds of Havoc overtook their prey. Three traitorous delegates, their souls released, were placed on cold steel rails to await the 115. Many thanks to Lord Chaos, for the butchery was exquisite, and a fine example was provided to all debate Is required. Respectful dissent is allowed, and treachery is a death sentence. The reference to the 115 is chilling when viewed in conjunction with a Ventura Sheriff's report, which states that the Metrolink commuter train that struck the victims was number 115. So still think that this is a LARP, and I'm really not talking to you guys that are faithful listeners at all. I am talking to shills and the people that are just scoffing at this and saying, you know, no, it's just a LARP. No, no, it isn't, because there's too many things like this that connect to real life. So no, it isn't. And all of this information checks out. So, and it says, check on the files below to read the Interpol red notices. So there's so much information contained in here that, like I said, I'm trying to give you as much as I can. Now let's look at this. This is another proof, I guess you would say. Scottish witch murdered, uterus, heart, and ovaries eaten. Margaret McKenzie was a notorious Scottish witch suspected of stealing dogs from her neighbors in Aberdeenshire, Scotland, where when she was brutally murdered in her home, Somerset Bellanoff was questioned by constables. The deputy chief constable in charge of the investigation cleared the countess as a suspect, and according to the LinkedIn account, the former deputy chief now works for the Wetton World Security Office in Luxembourg. The news article is reprinted below. Now, obviously, she had a point in that when the investigating officer now works for her. So let's not get into any more of that. But here is death of Gambino boss Frank Kelly on March 1st, 2019. The following directive is posted on Glamis calling. Mr. Kelly's important date is approaching. We will need to implement Operation Romeo Hammer. This needs to be brutal and public. Francesco Paolo Kelly was the reputed leader of the Gambino crime family based in New York, according to U.S. prosecutors. Mr. Kelly's reputation and influence extended well beyond five boroughs in New York City, and he was in fact respected and admired by some of the most powerful criminals in Europe. He is alleged to have maintained close ties with top mafia officials in Palermo. Shadow Watcher investigators have spoken with elements of the Sicilian Mafia in Palermo and learned that at least some of its leadership have been unhappy with Wetton's interference in the business of organized crime. FBI sources close to the Gambino task force believe Kelly used his influence with corrupt jail officials to have Graver, Beresovsky, and Wallenberg released from the Metropolitan Detention Facility. Many questions remain, but on March 13th, 2019, approximately 2 weeks after someone on Miss Bellanoff's staff posted the statement above, Frank Kelly was shot to death in front of his Staten Island home. According to newspaper reports, police believe the killing was unrelated to Mr. Kelly's alleged mob ties. On April 3rd, Anthony Comello was indicted for the shooting death of Francesco Kelly. Prosecutors are saying Mr. Comello was allegedly angry that Mr. Kelly refused to allow him to date his niece. It is unknown if the potentially romantic motive of the killing is related to the term Operation Romeo Hammer. It is perhaps also noteworthy that Mr. Kelly was killed exactly 1 year to the day that David Gravier, Eric Wallenberg, and Abraham Beresovsky were inadvertently released from jail. So, yeah, this is not anything to mess around with. This woman is very powerful. And the more we get into it, the more this gets really, really frightening. Occult connections deeper than Dante. I've met your devil, sir, and frankly, I was not impressed. Lucifer is a third-rate demonic entity who relies on his biblical fame in attempt to hold on to power. The pathetic fool once offered to give me the world on a silver platter in return for my immortal soul. I told him I already have the world, I have the silver platter, and I have no need of his silly trinkets. I told him if he annoyed us further, I would take his eyes out, and he left. I was 13 years old. Somerset Bellanoff to Reverend Billy Graham. And this is very, very strange. There's a lot here. The lost children of Hamelin. Miss Bellanoff appears to have an unusual connection to the German town of Hamelin. Hamelin in German is the name. Sounds familiar. It may If the name sounds familiar, it may be that you've heard it mentioned in the legend of the Pied Piper, who is alleged to have led away all the village's children over 700 years ago. Every year on June 26, a post appears on Glamis Calling blog to commemorate the Hamelin tragedy. It may seem touching or even sweet, the idea of a 65-year-old woman who believes in the terrible legend and is moved to post a comment on her blog to remind the world that children are precious and we must never let something like this happen again. But when you actually view the post and listen to the audio, it isn't touching at all. It's really, really creepy. Instead of a message of comfort, the post may be better interpreted as a condemnation of the parents who allowed their children to be taken. Worse, one gets the feeling that Miss Belanoff may be mocking the village. Why emphasize parental negligence in a case that happened 700 years ago, if it happened at all? Like so many things surrounding Somerset Belanoff, the real story behind her connection to the Hamelin and the Pied Piper is an enigma, but it is interesting to note that according to the late Peter Graham, Led Zeppelin's manager, the song Stairway to Heaven is about Miss Belanoff and includes references to her that were well known to the people in the London art and music scene. We mention this here because the song also includes the word, the Piper's calling you to join him, an obvious reference to her connection to the Pied Piper of Hamelin. Graham told Melody Maker that the lyrics about the May Queen refers directly to Miss Belanoff and that she is the lady who is buying the stairway to heaven. In the 1960s, Belanoff was known informally within the London art scene as the May Queen, most likely because May 1st is her birthday and she was known as a sort of magical, carefree, regal person. On June 26, 2017, the image on the right appeared on Glamis Calling along with an audio file with the words, "It is 733 years since our children left." This is likely in reference to an entry written over 600 years ago in the village church records that simply say, "It is 100 years since our children left." Obviously, Miss Belanoff is intimately familiar with the legend and the early church records that mention the exodus of the children, but the reason for her intense interest is not known. In the audio file attached to the post, you can hear the echoed voices of children laughing and suddenly crying, sounds of pigs grunting and squealing, men shouting in German, and demons wailing. Given Miss Belanoff's occult leading, one wonders if she has somehow reached through the ages and captured, however imperfectly, the sounds of what happened on that fateful day more than 700 years ago. You'll have to visit glamiscalling.org to enjoy the complex experience because we are not able to download her video. I listened to it and I became so freaked out and so I had to shut it off. So I'm definitely not going to play it for you guys. I'm just not. All right. And she, had assault on Golden Dawn sorcerers. This is also extremely interesting, but before we go on, I want to come back here because I've got, and in case you're wondering if House of Wetton is a real, it is, it's right there on Wikipedia, House of Wetton. So, I'm not going to go through all that, but let's go back here. And let's look at this. Here is the lyrics from Led Zeppelin's Stairway to Heaven. Reportedly, this is about her. There's a lady who's sure all that glitters is gold, and she's buying a stairway to heaven. When she gets there, she knows if the stores are all closed, with a word, she can get what she came for. Oh, 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 and she's buying a stairway to heaven. There's a sign on the wall, but she wants to be sure, because you know sometimes words have two meanings. That's very interesting, because in the elite, they do talk that way, where words have one meaning to those underneath and another meaning to the initiates. There's a sign on the wall, but she wants to be sure because, you know, sometimes words have two meaning. It's a tree by the brook. There's a songbird who sings. Sometimes all of our thoughts are misgiving. Oh, it makes me wonder. Oh, it makes me wonder. There's a feeling I get when I look to the west. And my spirit is crying for leaving. In my thoughts, I have seen rings of smoke through the trees and the voices of those who stand looking. Oh, it makes me wonder. Oh, it really makes me wonder. And the whispered, and it's whispered that soon, if we all call the tune, then the piper will lead us to reason, and a new day will dawn for those who stand long, and the forest will echo with laughter. If there's a bustle in your hedgerow, don't be alarmed now. It's just a spring clean for the May Queen. Yes, there are two paths you can go by, but in the long run, there's still time to change the road you're on, and it makes me wonder. Your head is humming, and it won't go. In case you don't know, the piper's calling you to join him. Dear lady, can you hear the wind blow? And did you know your stairway lies on the whispering wind? And as we wind on down the road, our shadows taller than our soul, there walks a lady we all know who shines white light and wants to show how everything still turns to gold. And if you listen very hard, the tune will come to you at last when all are one and one is all. To be a rock and not to roll, and she's buying the stairway to heaven. So it is reported that that song is directly about her. And I did see an interview by the guy that wrote that song, but I don't know if I could find it in all this now. But this is a very interesting one, the assault on Golden Dawn sorcerers. And I might have to come back and do a second video if you guys want me to. Let me know if you think, no, not too interested in delving into this, then let me know that as well. I am finding this quite fascinating, but I also think it's a little bit dangerous to be delving into this. I just have that feeling, and I'm usually right about these things. So I don't know how this is going to affect me on Twitter. I'm hoping it won't, but there's always that possibility. Now, before it gets too late, I do want to touch on a few other things. I've got a heck of a lot more. I really do. But like I said, this is a very, very deep subject. And the deeper you dig, the more you find. So let's look at this. This is her daughter. Okay. This is her daughter, Karina Belanoff. All right. And what does she do for a living? Well, you'll notice she has those same wonky eyes, and all of the people that work for her, that are members in high standing on the council and so forth, have what, there's a name for that when you have two different colored eyes, or two different colored, like it's not completely two different eyes like David Bowie, but there's like an abnormal cornea, and there's two different colors there, and they all seem to have that, which is interesting, if you ask me. Now, this is daughter of Somerset Belanoff, and she is the proprietor of Cannibal Cravings at the Hollydale. She is the Elector General of the Wetton World Governing Council. So let's see now. Now, I know what you're saying. Oh, come on. Come on. No. Yeah. 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 All right. Let's go take a look at that. Yes, right here. This is her website. People are meat. Yeah. Cannibal Cravings at the Hollydale. The daughter of Somerset Belanoff. All right. Now, this is very interesting. Meet your meat. Those who sacrifice are from the lower classes, and their most humble desire is to be in our bellies. God bless all of you lovely, delicious people. I wish I could eat you every day. And this is Amy Belanoff, another daughter, or perhaps it could even be the daughter of her daughter. I'm not sure about that yet. So, with gratitude in our hearts and friends in our bellies, the wonderful people below are just a few of the flesh donors who made the ultimate sacrifice for your culinary enjoyment in recent months. All of our specimens undergo rigorous physical and psychological screening to ensure our clientele enjoy the healthiest of meals. Now, apparently, from what I can ascertain by the way this works, these people compete. And those who lose die. Those that win, I guess they're given something. I don't know. But this is completely voluntary. Apparently, people apply to compete in this way. And the winner wins, the losers get eaten. So these are some of the people that became meals in the last several months. And they even have their names, but just their last initial. As an artist, I can't imagine anything more exquisite than being ripped to pieces by vicious dogs while performing my signature horsey hop mime dance in the frenzy room. I know whatever is left of me will be delicious. This is my gift to the children of Sarajevo. Now, to me, from reading this, it seems that they have this room called the frenzy room, and they compete in there. And yes, they do have vicious dogs in there, and they even have a bear that you go up against, and if you lose, you're eaten, and if you win, I don't know what you get. Freedom, I guess, but there must be something more in it than that. Then why would people apply to do this? I don't know. And here's another quote, really looking forward to fighting a bear in the gladiator room. I'm pretty fit, and I've watched a ton of Bruce Lee movies, so I think I can beat a full-grown grizzly. Whatever, though, because if I lose, I get to be butchered and cooked by Ian effing Sinclair. Win-win, right? This is a very famous chef. I'm a newbie when it comes to eating human beings, and I was a little squeamish at first, but Master Chef Sinclair's bone marrow soup is crazy, crazy delicious. And they even put their names. Weird. Point five is on record as being the quasi anti-cannibalism because in the hands of the wrong people, it could be really dangerous. But the restaurant owner, Karina, is awesome and her insane master chef does a great job and the security is really tight so no one gets on the menu who isn't really into it. Our drummer, Hunter Mason, signed up for the Razor Room dance contest and when he got sliced in half, he was on the menu the next day, which is what he wanted if he didn't make it. I know people talk a lot of smack about drummers, but ours was ultra tasty. Also, he wasn't a great drummer, pretty average actually, so you know, it all worked out. This is by 0.5 Salem, Massachusetts. And people always taste better when you get to know them first. Teresa de Rothschild, six-time great-granddaughter of Mayor Amschel Rothschild, former IDF soldier, keeper of the Shadow Lion, and chief of technical security at the World Governing Council. So it's all tied in. It's all tied in. Now let's go up here. Entertainment. I always think it's a pity I can't eat everyone, but at least at the Hollydale, I've had the pleasure of eating some lovely people. And that was by Zsa Zsa Gabor. That is a quote. And here are the lounges, belly dancers, live music, and a cozy yet sensual ambiance is the best way to describe the Hollydale's exotic lounge areas. Enjoy the world's finest legal ethno-botanicals while you soak up the atmosphere. Oh, and in case you were wondering, you can eat the dancers. And the Hollydale has four exotic hookah lounges. That's the thing that you know, can inhale through. Each with a different decor theme. Whether you prefer to float away on a nice Moroccan dream leaf, soar to magnificent heights with a few drams of Himalayan Rocket Man, or release the gorilla with the bud of the T-Rex plant, we've got you covered. Beautiful people, wonderful entertainment, and delicious food, often all wrapped up in one exquisite package. Donors and diners celebrate the pre-dinner festivities together at the Hollydale. And it says, at the Hollydale, you'll meet your donors in the afternoon, party with them, dance with them, chase the light with them, and after the clock strikes midnight, you'll eat them in one of our fine dining rooms. It's hard to believe, isn't it? It's hard to believe, but yet I do believe it. And the reason they say they can get away with this is because these people are volunteering to be eaten and they don't use, and you can't take any of your meal out because that is considered transporting a human body and they could be shut down. So really, really weird stuff here. Really weird stuff. So let's go back up here and check out more of this. It's history. I don't know if I've read the history. Those who forget history are doomed to repeat it and will cut to pieces And will be cut to pieces by the Hollydale's electric servants. Nancy Reagan, former First Lady of the United States and spokeswoman for General Electric, coined the term electric servants in 1941. Down memory lane with Nancy. Okay, well, I'm not going to. Apparently, it's been around for a long time. And menu. Some cannibals say cruelty is the best sauce, but I disagree. I find the combination of adrenaline, serotonin, and dopamine gives the flesh a delicate yet bold je ne sais quoi. And that is Marissa Windsor St. John. So I don't know. These are all related to her somehow. Socially responsible distribution of uneaten meat. Due to California licensing restrictions on the transportation of human remains, we cannot allow guests to remove food from the premises. All uneaten food is repackaged and transported by licensed staff to charitable institutions such as senior shut-ins, Children of Shame, Workhouse Orphanage, or Luther's Night and Daycare Center. No, that can't be right. I don't think that would be, I don't know what to think about this. Appetizer, homemade tortilla, cannibal chips, smothered in traditional English cheddar and deep fried in freshly rendered man tallow, truffle fries with mother's milk, Parmesan deep fried and rendered lady tallow, nachos with cheese sprinkled with jalapenos, topped with generous serving of tender shredded shoulder roast. Unbelievable. Baked oysters with mushroom and cream. And it says, if you're allergic to shellfish, remember, these don't come from the ocean. So what do you think baked mushroom or baked oysters are? I can imagine. Here we are, offer a sampling of popular cannibal dishes from our famous kitchen. All dairy dishes are made from fresh mother's milk. Tasty tongue, slow cooked overnight with onion, garlic, and bay leaves. Like, this is just unbelievable. Pig sticker tool, long and sleek, swift judgment in store for the lazy and the weak. Release our souls with your shiny sharp tool. Devour thy neighbor is the golden rule. Yeah. So I don't know what to think about. And this by Prince Charles, my thanks to Karina and the Hollydale. The people were delicious. The setting was lovely and a wonderful time was had by all. Rather unfortunate for the Danish fellow we were eating, but there you have it. Some people were made to be eaten and others, it seems, were made to eat them. Now, I don't know what to make of this because it seems to me, I don't know how they could get away with this unless there's not too many people that know about this website. I don't know. But October Madness was really bizarre. Winners of the October 2019 event are announced below. To be considered for the 2020 event, email us at info@peoplearemeat.com. And so this year's winners took the Hollydale by storm and literally murdered the competition. Normally, a few strong competitors from one team wins the prize, but this year was different. This year was amazing. The winners of the 2019 competition employed a strategy we have not seen before and frankly had not contemplated. The winners, Team Enlil and Team Lamashtu, had worked together over the previous 2 years to prepare for the madness. The eight friends first obtained Rooster Hollydale's 19th century excavation plans, reviewed them thoroughly, and built mock-ups of key segments of the gaming area. It's safe to say these formidable warriors knew the layout of the caverns better than we do. For example, there are at least 37 shafts sunk deep into the rock in the caverns and tunnels that make up the gaming area. Our winners knew exactly where they were located and used them to great advantage. The purpose of Rooster's shafts are unknown. Perhaps he intended to build another level below the current floor, and the shafts were built in preparation for elevators that might have been installed at a later date. Perhaps the holes were attempts to locate water. Others have suggested the shafts were lairs where Rooster's demon slaves rested from their labor. Whatever the original purpose of the holes, Team Enlil and Team Lamashtu used them to trap and disable our electric servants. What are electric servants? So whatever the original purpose of the holes, okay, three members of Team Balthazar managed to evade the electric servants and the stone killers from Teams Enlil and Lamashtu. So this is weird. And so these are, Their fury was savage and delicious. No one, even our formidable electric servants, stood a chance against them. We honor you today and for the rest of the year. So I don't know if these are considered the winners or the losers. I don't know. They fought with hammers, bows, arrows, pry bars, fire, rope, knives, forks, rocks, hatchets, and gravity. Their fury was savage and delicious, and no one, even our formidable, I don't know what these are considered. Stella Chindra led the pack with 9 kills. Holly Calabrese and Sepeda Rohani had 8 and 5 kills, respectively. Nia Tuan, came in with 3 kills. Kalinda Jin murdered 2 contestants, and brothers Vincent and Eric Portillo killed 1 person each. So these are the survivors from the one team. How the contest works: each year on October 31st, 40 contestants divided into 10 teams compete against one another and against the electric servants to win a fortune in cash and free dining at the Hollydale for a year. Losers will be on the menu. If cheap shots, dirty tricks, unsportsmanlike treachery, and unrestrained violence sound good, you're in the right place. Let the games begin. Wow. Murder, Mayhem, and Dangerous Games. At 3 p.m. on October 31st, Hollydale General Manager Hugh Collins gives the green lights for the game to begin. The goal is to murder the contestants. Stay alive from 3 to 5. The vast network of tunnels and caverns beneath the Hollydale Lunatic Asylum becomes a deadly battleground as 40 warriors fight to the death between the hours of 3 p.m. October 31st and 5 a.m. the following morning. To win, you need to be alive at 5 a.m. Wow. Remember, you and your team will be competing against other contestants who, like the electric servants, will be hell-bent on killing you. Defeat the Hollydale's electric servants and avoid being killed by other contestant teams to win big cash and prizes. Selection is now closed. To enroll in the 2020 competition, email us at info@peoplearemeat.com. So isn't this interesting? Because it'd be interesting to email them. If any of you are interested in competing, yes, I know you're not. In the spirit of fair competition, professional killers and current as well as former members of the armed services are ineligible for this special Halloween event. There you go. Unbelievable. And they have a blog here. Oh my gosh, this is disturbing. It says Adoption Fair, Hollydale Adoption Fair 2019 update. Very, very disturbing. And this is her daughter that's running this. In this article, we announce the results of the 2019 Hollydale Adoption Fair and provide a general overview of the adoption auction process. 2019 winner, 5-year-old Arawinda arrived at the Hollydale on November 2nd from the wherever region of Java, Indonesia, abandoned by her parents at the age of 11 months and shuffled between several orphanages before being discovered by our adoption scouts. Her name means lotus in her native language. She's the only child whose bid total exceeded her travel costs. Unfortunately, the other children were not eligible for adoption as they were not able to garner sufficient auction totals to offset expenses incurred by the Hollydale on their behalf. As for Arawinda, she will stay in the residential quarters of the Hollydale while her adoption paperwork is finalized, after which she will join her forever family in Pacific Palisades, California. Wow. Yeah, I don't know what to think of all this. I really don't. But that is her daughter that runs that. And what else is on here? Let me see what this is. Yeah, this is the person that runs. She is the quality control manager at Cannibal Cravings at the Hollydale. And this is her Facebook page. Yeah, it's interesting. Don't know what to think about this, but it's full of what does it say about this? Stone Cold Killer, Lethal Beauty, and Deputy Chief of Security, Lauren McPherson Muncie, is a native of Sydney, Australia, and granddaughter of reputed crime boss Leonard Arthur McPherson. Lauren first encountered, I don't even care. But let's go back to something here. Let's go back to Glamis's calling. And let me see. I thought on here they had a, when they're talking about Washington Tower, they're usually talking about the White House. There's so much on here, and I've only scratched the surface. I mean, really, just scratched the surface. I'm trying to look for, somewhere there's a, there's a pictures of the people that work for her, and staff. Now, there's something you're gonna notice about these people right away. It's their eyes. Well, maybe not hers, but this is Chief Technology Officer for World Governing Council. This is Natalie Belanoff Windsor. So she is a daughter, I would assume. And look at the eyes. She's got those same mesmerizing type of eyes with double color. And she is, Somerset Belanoff's youngest daughter. So I would assume she looks a lot like her, because the only known picture that we have of her looks a lot like that. She, reporting directly to the Countess, she oversees satellite and terrestrial communications related to lost lullaby frequency, forgotten frequency, and the associated nodes, which include Hyacinth node, where most Capricorn uploads occur. I don't even know what that means. But and here's another daughter, and again, you've got those mesmerizing eyes. This is Karina Belanoff, the one that runs the restaurant. And again, the two colored eyes, and very, I don't know, mesmerizing. Another, Amy Belanoff St. John is Miss Belanoff's niece and the daughter of St. Michael and Marissa Windsor St. John. She is a special assistant to Somerset Belanoff and is expected to become a permanent member of the executive team upon completion of her studies at Cambridge. Again, you see the eyes. There are two colors of eyes. She's got that same anomaly in the eyes and very mesmerizing eyes. This person, not so much. This is the chief of staff, not related. And here's this guy, two different colored, like two colored eyes within each eye. And this is Sir Callum McCoynich, is the chief of security office of the Wetton World Security Office. He reports directly to Somerset Belanoff. This is Carl Fieldhaus. His eyes also have the dual colors. And he is close friend of Somerset Belanoff. This guy, I can't tell. But it's director of space systems. He reports directly to Somerset Belanoff and is responsible for commandeering space-based assets from all nations for use on behalf of Wetton World Security Office. This guy, Nigel Hammond, can't tell with his eyes. They just look black. And this girl, Michelle, I can never pronounce that last name. I know it's a very common last name. And she reports to Edward Washington and has primary responsibility for managing the Vibe satellite systems. Note her heterochromia, one brown eye, one blue eye. Yeah, they all seem to have an abnormality in the eyes. Again, this guy has two different colored eyes within each eye. Manages a programming network on Vibe satellite. And this guy, I can't tell what color his eyes are. And this guy, I can't tell either. His eyes look dark because of the picture. And here we go, another person with two different colored eyes. She is the Undersecretary of Military Affairs. And it goes on and on and on. There's a lot of people here that work for her. And a lot of them seem to have very strange eyes. Very strange eyes. Again, two different colored eyes within one eye. It's odd. And it seems to me, I've heard something about this when people were trying to find out what had happened to Madeleine McCann, because Madeleine had the two different colored eyes, like not two separate, but two colors within one eye. And I don't know, but if you know what I'm talking about here and have seen that there's some reason they tend to be drawn towards this. It's like an issue of DNA or something. I don't know, but leave me a message on, you know, in the comments below if you know what I'm talking about. So I'm not going to belabor this anymore because really I could probably go on for hours and hours and hours just reading this stuff and finding the connections within it, because there's too many connections and there's too much that, you know, checks out for this to be fake and made up and just a LARP. So that's where I stand with this. If you want me to look into it further, let me know in the comments below. Otherwise, I'm going to leave it there. And, you know, the links are all there if you guys want to look into it. So there you go. That's it for tonight. Thank you guys so much. Thank you for all you do. And thank you again for the support that you give. It is very, very needed. Again, no advertising on this site, so I do depend on that, and I appreciate it so much. Now, that's it for tonight, but I will be back tomorrow. We're expecting an ice storm, so I imagine I'll just be here posting tomorrow, looking up stuff and posting. So there you go. You guys have a wonderful night. Take care, stay safe, stay blessed, and keep seeking truth, because deception, well, you know, it bites.